We have, count them, 11 games on the slate. You guessed it. It's a big Wednesday. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. Welcome to our viewers on Twitter and on YouTube. And when you get a chance, head on over to Discord. The link is in the show notes. That's where all the questions are getting answered. And quick updates on the schedule. And I think, Steve, you might have been breaking some news last night. We're going to be expanding the amount of shows that we have going out. I'm not 100% sure about the schedule, even though it's been presented to me so cleanly and kindly by producer Andre Lemouche. And I have assented to the schedule. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. But we're going to be going in the mornings. As usual, and with the exception of, I believe, Thursday morning live, we won't be doing that one. Tuesday, we might not be doing live in the morning, but we're going to have four or three, I can't recall, shows at night with Sports Ethos After Dark. You know what, Doc, I know you're about to talk trash over there, but your mute button's on, so you don't get to talk over there. And then we're going to have a weekend show and a Friday morning show, and wasn't that great. That was totally confusing. So you guys just need to know there's more shows going on. And we have a ton of action to break down, not just from last night, but mostly tonight. We have 11 games. So we're going to try to get as many fantasy takes per minute into this show. So let's quickly shout out our sponsor, basketball fans. It's that time of year again. The NBA is back. From opening tip-off to buzzer beaters, this season every game matters. BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promos, and live in-game betting on all of your favorite teams, along with every stat, matchup breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the game. It's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds on everything from football to MLB playoffs, NHL, and political props. Head to the website today to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Steve, I'm sorry about the text last night. You sent me texts. I read them. You're still on mute, for what it's worth. I read these texts, and I wanted to send one back. I just wanted to keep the bit going, you know, for like another day. So I apologize. I'll start responding to the texts.
You did. You sent me a text.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, you said this thread is amazing.
Or something. Oh, I did reply. See, I don't even know what. I can't wait to join the show one night and practically not remember it. Because by that time at night, I'm pretty much done. But I am very excited for your guys' show tonight. Last show was great. I'm excited to know that we're going to be doing more shows at night, you and Rick. I'm going to try to wedge my way out of kiddo duty and join those shows if you guys will have me, and that's going to be great. Other than that, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. You ready to hit the takes-o-minute meter and just take it to a new level today?
I'll try. I'll see what I can do. I may set a record for the least amount of words said in a podcast.
I wish somebody had told me that. I would have gotten a little bit more sleep last night. Okay, well, let's get into it because we do have a lot to cover and we really want to jam this show with as many fantasy takes as possible, though there are about 5 million reality basketball things going on as well. We're going to try to keep it to mostly fantasy today. Let's start in the Sacramento-Utah Jazz game last night. People that, you know, followers of the B150 who, you know, drafted accordingly and, you know, they think the story there is that they want to see what Keon Ellis is all about. Keon Ellis, he had an amazing game. I mean, 17 minutes is not jumping off the page by any means, but it was 17 highlight-worthy minutes, like, the entire time. He cut off the entire floor, as usual, defensively. He had 2 steals, 3 blocks, 5 points, 4 boards, no threes. He's still a little timid out there offensively. When your minutes get yanked around like that, that tends to happen. He knows his role. That's my fantasy angle from last night's game. But those of you who do not live in the world dominated by Keon Ellis, Doc, was there anything else in that game that caught your eye?
No, I agree. I mean, the 3 blocks, 2 steals were pretty cool from Ellis. 17 minutes was also cool. I mean, I think that's the big takeaway from the Sacramento side. And then on the Utah side, John Collins had 18-7, a block and a steal, getting those – an extra boost that Hendricks has done. But, yeah, Keontae George, 3-13 again. He's got to be shooting. Well, let's look at it. Keontae George is shooting. What's it going to be? What do you think?
I think it's going to be 20%.
26. Maybe.
It's crazy bad. They look really bad.
His average per game is 4 makes in 15 attempts.
Well, look, let's get to some other stories. Lauri Markkanen left that game in the second half with, I believe, a hip injury. So that stuff is already happening. John Collins actually took a rough fall, but I don't think that's going to register here. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But, you know, with no Taylor Hendricks and the potential that the tank is like full on right now, I really wonder about this team. I mean, you got Colin Sexton, just 4 points, 2 boards, 1 assist, 18 minutes, 0-for-7. I mean, some of this, I think, is the Kings were just a drastically better team. That's going to be the case on most nights, though. The game really just fell apart for Utah on just about every level. So this is probably a low watermark for guys like Sexton, who I think people are a little bit panicked on. He just had a good game the other night. So I think this is going to be the case with a really bad team. But
If I have Markkanen, I'm terrified right now.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, this is as bad of a start.
They're already 0-4. And Keontae, they can play him 48 minutes a game the whole season and still lose every night.
That's
so Keontae's fine, but Lauri Markkanen, man.
I don't know if Keontae's fine. I think Keontae might, because the team itself is so bad, he needs Markkanen on the floor. You know, he needs these good players on the floor. Otherwise, it's going to be 25% all year long. Kidding, but I'm not 100% sure I'm kidding there.
Yeah, I'm not saying that his fantasy value is fine, but his playing time is fine.
Playing time's fine. Counting stats will be fine. If you're in a serious field goal punt build, you're probably happy there, but I mean, you really got to look down roster to kind of figure out what's up next. Kyle Filipowski started the next half. He went for 12-8 with 2 assists, a steal, and 2 threes. I mean, you are really struggling if you're going to try to bank on that. Walker Kessler, kind of a slowdown. He had some really bad moments in that game. Some kind of just bad defensive plays, but also like, you know, the old De'Aaron Fox throw the ball off his back and taking it in for a layup right underneath the hoop. That kind of stuff was going on in that game. And it's going to be a little bit of a jumbled mess. Cody Williams, I don't think that anybody's interested in Cody Williams. He did have 3 threes and 2 steals. There's some value there, but he had 9 points and zeros everywhere else in 30 minutes. So, I mean, the film on him is that he's extremely raw. There's a lot that we could talk about with this team, but there's not a lot that leads to anything good for anybody. So I'm going to scoot us along. And I also will point out for the Kings that Kevin Huerter offensively looks fine. And he was lucky to get 2 steals and a block in this game because, again, the defense for the Kings was swarming and Utah didn't have anything going at all. So this kind of fell into his lap. But I think his 27 minutes, that might become a normal number. I think they'll probably pump Keon Ellis up over 20, and then it'll get up to 25. And then the first excuse that they have to bump him up from there, you know, they'll take it. Because again, if you're a basketball person, if you look at the film, it's pretty clear what they have in Keon Ellis. Let's move it along to New Orleans and Golden State. Rick should be happy, 31-8. Out of Zion, 7 turnovers. And as we dive into the details here, it gets a little bit iffy. Just 1 block. The team lost against a Stephen Curry-less, you know, Golden State Warriors squad. Herb Jones.
Blew a 20-point lead.
That's how it's going to roll for New Orleans. I mean, you know, Hart and, you know, stick-to-itiveness, you know, whatever, something's just not right there. Herbert Jones takes an injury, so we don't know his status, at least as of right now. So that's something to watch. I think this team's getting...
CJ McCollum and Jordan Hawkins were terrible.
Yeah, they just kind of got punked out there. Gary Payton was getting into CJ McCollum's head, and it just, the vibe in New Orleans is just really, really off. Yves Miesi, 2 blocks, 9 points, 7 boards, 3 assists. I think he's must roster.
He actually looked good. He looked good.
Yeah, I think it's just they kind of know what they have there, and it's going to be messy, but I think Miesi is going to be a must roster player the rest of the way. I mean, he's getting his blocks. He's athletic enough to hang. you know, they're going to have to see what they have there, and it'll be messy, but I think you guys are going to want to have him on a roster. Outside of that, yeah, I think Trey Murphy can't get back for this squad soon enough. Hawkins disappointing, 4 points, two boards, one steal. On the Warriors side, we did get a Pajemski sighting. So I think everybody can kind of calm down. He's going to be at least okay. 19-3 with five assists, one steal, two blocks, 3 three-pointers. And Moses Moody got off for 17 points and five trays. Buddy Hield, 28 points. Buddy just survives. He just survives, guys. He's probably a top 75 the guy the rest of the way. Trey Jackson Davis, 3 points, five assists, one block in 17 minutes. That's not doing the trick. Anything else you see here? I mean, Kuminga, did anything with Kuminga?
The Lindy Waters explosion was the story of the night, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the quote from Steve Kerr might have been the story, was that he was the best player in the preseason for the Golden State Warriors. And I think there was a little he laid it on thick there, did Steve Kerr.
I had a lot of Moody. He played 18 minutes, which was disappointing. I had a lot of Gary Payton. He only played 8 minutes. So if he got into somebody's head, he did it very quickly and then kept doing it from the bench. He's only played 8 minutes. Meanwhile, Lindy Waters looked like the best player on the court for half the game. Zion looked awesome. Kuminga looked good. Pajemski, I'm surprised to see that 3 of 8 because I didn't see the 3 makes, but I saw the 5 misses. And I've been said on Twitter, like, man, I don't think this guy's going to keep bombing threes forever because a lot of them did not look good. But I'm going to roll with Lindy Waters again tonight in DFS and just see what happens.
Yeah, I think when you see this stuff down roster, and Waters has been around. I mean, he's been with Oklahoma City Thunder, and when it's a numbers game there and you can't get on the floor there, that's not the end of the world. So you file this stuff away for future reference, and then these guys kind of rise up into the deep league status, and then, hey, you know what? One day they're a standard league player, and you heard it here first. Andrew Wiggins missed this game. De'Anthony Melton missed this game. I got two kind of reads on this. I think the Wiggins one is that it's early in the season and they just don't want to chance things with one of their main cogs. With Melton, I'm pretty concerned. Like, I think he's, whatever's going on with his back is not kind of going away. And as far as your planning within this Golden State Warriors roster, I think it really rises Buddy Hield and Pajemski to a safe status, that they're going to have their minutes, they're going to have their production. Melton, if he does come back and he does get into a 25 minute per game role, I think that's fine. It will move Hield and Pajemski kind of closer, you know, to the low or mid 20s, say 26, 27 minutes, but they'll still be productive. But with Melton possibly being kind of a non-factor possibly this season, it feels like it's trending that direction. I think these guys, like if anybody's fading, like Hield, for example, they shouldn't do that. As for Kuminga, what do you feel about him coming off the bench? Like, it was a good statistical night. Is this the right way for the Warriors to go?
I mean, if he's going to get 28 minutes, I really don't care where it comes from. But I do like him going up against, you know, second unit guys from the other team. So, as long as it's getting 28 minutes, I'm fine with it. I think it's probably good.
Yeah, I'm actually like him beating up on the other team's second unit, but with players who are kind of offensively minded that don't really like to pass a lot. I mean, that's they got second unit written all over them. He hates it, I'm sure, and it's a big deal within the Warriors organization. But that might be good for his value. Now it's going to take that upside. I think the people wanted the upside. They wanted Kuminga going 30 plus per game and kind of getting the full Kuminga experience. But I don't think that's going to be happening, minus a bunch of injuries this season. Let's keep it moving to Denver and Brooklyn. Denver flirting with another loss again, overtime again. The Brooklyn Nets with the over-under of 19.5 wins. In this game, first of all, we saw Jokic go nuclear, 29, 18, and 16. Not so much in the cash counting stats, but big popcorn stats. And then a little bit of a Russell Westbrook resurgence, Christian Brown. I think this Christian Brown is actually what we're probably going to see on a lot of nights. It's something in the 12-3-3 range with over three cash counting stats, which I always call three-pointers, steals, and blocks. Those three categories are my cash counting stats, and I think that he'll get about three or four of those per night. But did anything else strike you from this box, Steve?
I think Brown's going to be better than this on most nights.
I think it'll be even better. Yeah.
Westbrook got hot. Jokic was on fire. Everybody else was just kind of checking it out. I mean, Gordon and Murray both put up pretty good numbers. So Brown was just the odd man out last night, but he still played 39 minutes. He'll have better nights.
Yeah, it's funny. This was a really worrying game for Denver overall, but for fantasy value, I think if you're a GM for Jamal Murray, you know, you're like, okay, I'll take this 24-3-3 and, you know, nothing too terrible happening. I think I'll take that rather than the zigzaggy start that he's had. And Westbrook 10 of 10 from the foul line. That's definitely an outlier. So keep that in mind as you assess going forward. On the Brooklyn side, I think the thing that strikes me the most about this box is that Clowney has just done nothing to start this season. He's had a bit of an opportunity and he was really being hyped up in August and September. And that stuff's, you know, it's a little bit detrimental, I think, you know, when guys get hyped up that early in the preseason. But nothing going. Do you think that Clowney has anything in him this season?
I don't know, dude. I was taking a nap all summer. I skipped the Clowney hype. I never got sucked into it. I don't have him anywhere. I would never put him on a DFS team. At least not right now. I'm just glad to see my boy Cam Thomas keep chugging along. And Dennis Schroeder, man, he's like Buddy Hield. He just never goes away.
Yeah, it's going to be like this for a good three quarters of the season, I think. 28-14 for Schroeder. And then Dorian Finney-Smith, 17-5-4 with a 1-1. That was the question I had, I think, heading into the game, is if he could keep being good. He has some low-key, not upside, but he might stay in the top 100 range this season if he can kind of keep this thing going up. Your boy Cam Thomas, 26 points, 8-22 shooting. At least he balances that out with a 9-9 from the foul line. No steals or blocks, but this is a Cam Thomas game. This is kind of a prototypical Cam Thomas game. That's going to be good right there for Cam Thomas.
I think it was, I don't know if it was on the show yesterday. Somebody asked me about Dorian Finney-Smith. I was like, man, I'm just not feeling it. I mean, that's a pretty good stat line he had last night, man. And he's really been doing it all year. So maybe it is the year of DFS.
You know, I think he and Clam Johnson, 20 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, 6 threes. I mean, it's going to be good every night. They're going to get just hammered by teams. Again, an overtime game adds a little bit of stats there. I think the question that surrounds all these guys, and especially a lot of these tanking teams, is like, can you parlay anything that's going on right now into some sort of a trade asset? Can you push these guys into the middle in trade deals and get something back? Is the other side so enamored with the current production that you can just gain 2 to 3 rounds worth of value on those players? Claxton on the bench, I think he's just sort of, I think he's worrying folks from the bench. I think some of the injury concerns are omnipresent there. 16-12 with 3 blocks, 8-9 from the field, 26 minutes. I think folks would be a lot happier if he was in the starting lineup and doing what he needs to do early in the season before things get messy.
He also fouled out.
That's what happens.
So it might be better that he's coming off the bench.
I might be. Let's get into Dallas and Minnesota. We've got a Luka hobbling to the locker room sighting. I don't know. How did you feel when that was happening, Doc?
It happens every year. I wasn't shocked. He came back out and played through it, second night of a back-to-back. So he also hit a dagger at the end of that game.
That's awesome. I mean, the full-on Luka experience was there. He's become like a reverse Anthony Davis, where he does get hobbled and leave the game. Like, a lot, you know, almost every night, but he's not missing so many games that like Anthony Davis did early in his career. But
the shooting was bad again. So Luka's shooting's broken right now. Klay Thompson looked really good until last night. He didn't do anything. But man, Kyrie Irving went off. And PJ Washington is sort of like the Dallas version of Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, man, he's PJ Washington. I don't trust him. I don't love his game. But he's putting up numbers. And he deserves fantasy consideration for sure.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford had a little bit of an injury moment. It didn't register, and he started the second half. And the center rotation there, it feels like Gafford's starting the first half of each quarter, and then they're rolling with Lively after that. Lively 5-9 with 3 steals and a block, doing just fine with 27 minutes off the bench. Gafford 21 minutes, 14-4 with a steal and a block, 6-6 from the foul line, 2-2 from free throw. So they're just doing what they need to do at the center position. As you mentioned, Kyrie Irving, 35 points, 6 threes. Carrying the load there, it's going to be amazing. I think for Kyrie Irving GMs all season long, I think this is his year. Klay Thompson slowed down. Any concern there?
No, he'll be fine. And I was just not to toot my own horn, but I'm going to toot my own horn. I went all in on Kyrie. He was one of my guys. I drafted him everywhere. I was yelling at people to draft him. And yeah, Adam Schefter at ESPN was like, I agree with all of your my guy picks, except for Kyrie Irving. I'm not that stupid. I'm not going there. And he didn't say I'm not that stupid, but you know what I mean. And so far, Irving looks like he's happy, he's healthy, and I think he's going to be out there every night, man, trying to win a championship.
Yeah, I had him ranked, I want to say, like 13, 14, 15th in the B150, and he just kept falling, and there was a couple of players that I had ranked higher, and so I only got Kyrie on like half the teams. So it's annoying me because he would fall to like 30 in drafts, and I would watch especially some of my heavier competition. They would scoop him up, and I'm like, man, you guys just got a great deal, and why didn't I just push chips in a little bit further? There, that I believe does it for last night's action. Was there anything else in those games? Oh, pardon me, we didn't get to the Minnesota side. Julius Randle, 20 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 threes. Like, this to me feels like Randle's doing well, but everybody other than Anthony Edwards is doing bad. Is that the right read in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's it. Julius Randle's been solid. I called the Rudy Gobert under. Big time last night. He didn't do much. Yeah, everybody's kind of, yeah. Nasri's been solid.
Yeah, as he should be. I mean, he's on the bench. He's not as exposed.
5 turnovers, though.
DiVincenzo, 3 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1-3, 1 of 6 shooting. I mean, when you see DiVincenzo get 1 of 6 shooting in 26 minutes.
Bilo.
Oh, yeah, Bilo, because he's just an amazing basketball player, and he should do just fine. The Anthony Edwards 3-point shooting has kind of taken the internet by storm a little bit, not a lot, but 37 points, 12 of 20, but 7 of 13 from 3. His 3-point rate's over 50% right now. That is, to me, I wonder, is that just because teams are so afraid he can get around them and they've got 5 guys in the paint and they don't care if Randle beats them? So they're just loading up on him and his only option at that point is to rise and fire?
I don't know. He made some good moves to the basket, too. But I think he's getting so many wide-open looks, he just sort of feels like he has to take it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm good with the volume. I'm good with the 3-point shooting. I think that that's just a little bit of an indicator. Though the 6 of 12 from the foul line, that's not good. I think something's not right. So, I mean, it's obvious that Randle's just arrived, so that's going to be an issue no matter what. But I think there's just with ownership, you know, the failed sale and everything, that's the fighting in the background, and then you bring in a guy like Julius Randle, who is about as hard to play with on either side of the ball as it gets. And I think that's going to be kind of a theme here, but we'll just see if they can level things out. They probably need another player here. They probably need to make another move and try to add one other element that can change the direction of things there. Sorry, I'm having a funny chat over here. All right, let's get into tonight's games. And this is Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. If you're on Twitter or YouTube, check out the show notes, get on over to Discord, and then get your questions answered over there. We'll try to get them on screen and answer as many as we can. All right, tonight's action, let's start in Toronto and Charlotte. What is one thing you're looking for in this game, Steve, from a fantasy perspective? Either of these teams, I mean, I know what I'm looking for, but I don't want to steal your thunder.
Wow, we started in order. That's weird.
I'm doing my best. Doing my best. We could have started with Golden State.
I'm impressed. I want to see LaMelo Ball make it through this game in one piece. And I want to see Miles Bridges give us a monster game.
Obviously, the update on Scotty Barnes lingers large here. It's quiet. He didn't travel. It's a one-game roadie, I believe. So it made sense for him to not travel. But what happened with the eye? If the eye is bad, you know, that would be just terrible, right? Because he's off to a great start. For me, I'm always watching Mogbo. I made the big bet on the luxury stash, just to be clear on what we're dealing with here. Obviously, if Scotty Barnes is out, that opens the door somewhat for Mogbo. I don't want to go too big. I think that they're going to just sort of quietly raise his minutes as the year goes on. And then we can watch and see how that all pans out, because he's one of those players that you don't see very often, who has incredible physical attributes and incredible defense and very unique player. So I'll be watching for that. On the other side, let's talk a little bit more about LaMelo Ball. I think people are still sort of in shock, you know, from just the experience. I'm talking 3 years worth of experience from LaMelo Ball, where he kills teams for 2 years, just straight kills them. Then he's back. He gets one good game in preseason under his belt, and he's an early second rounder right after that. With that, is he a must-sell player, LaMelo Ball?
I mean, he is, but if he does it all year, you're going to be mad you did it. So it depends on how you feel about LaMelo Ball. If you think that you like what you see and you don't really care about what happened the last 2 years, and this is the year that he's going to play in 75 games, and you drafted him for a reason. So if I drafted LaMelo, I'm probably hanging on to him and riding the storm out, see what happens. But history says it's time to get out.
Yeah, I guess it depends on where you drafted him. Like, if you draft him in the early second round, I probably make that my floor. Because at some point, I mean, I know you can't really consider the past so much in future decisions. I mean, you do have to kind of break from that. Like, you are where you are right now. Doesn't matter what you did to get there. But that said, I mean, it's really early in the season. If you drafted him in the early second round, I would not probably take anything beneath that level. My future prediction, you know, maybe I go for a player that's not injury prone at that level, but I don't want to go too far but beneath that level, because you just kind of owned yourself at that point. And so that's maybe my threshold, but I do think he's a must sell player. I think when you have a player with that kind of history on this kind of a team, and they may down the stretch decide that they don't want to play, we'll see how that goes. But I would call him a must sell player in the sense that you could get a second round asset pretty quickly right now and just get out of this business. And depending on how savvy you are and what the opposition looks like, I think you could even do a little bit better. I'll move us now to, I am going to go to New Orleans, Golden State, the rematch. Cause if I don't, we're going to forget it. Cause it's on the front side of my schedule here. So take that, Doc. New Orleans, Golden State, it's a rematch. What do you want to see? I know we just covered the game. We can kind of speed right through it, but like, is there anything else you want to see tonight?
I mean, I really thought with all the guys that we already talked about who were out and missing from that game, that Moses Moody and Junior were both going to go off. And one played 8 minutes, one played 18, and Lindy did all the heavy lifting, Lindy and Pod. So I'm going back to the Lindy well tonight, but I don't feel great about it. I could see Moses Moody going nuts.
Yeah, I could see Kuminga going nuts again, too. I think he's got a lot to prove right now. The pricing's probably not right in DFS, but I would be looking at the bench.
The Gary Payton thing was weird because all his minutes came in the first half. He didn't play at all in the second half. So I don't know if he did something to make Kerr mad or I don't know what happened.
He might be on his last leg. That's the only thing I think of there. But Kerr is his minutes, his philosophies. He kind of feels like he's just digging in and kind of, you know, maybe on his last stand as a coach and, you know, just trying to show people who's boss. Not great. Let's move into LA and Cleveland, unless you got something.
No, it's just going to be CJ McCollum's due for a big bounce back tonight.
Yeah, actually, I would say that New Orleans is, if they've got any heart at all, this is a good measurement game for New Orleans. If they got any heart at all, we'll see it tonight. If not, you'll kind of know where that team is heading. In the LA Cleveland matchup, I think this is a very juicy matchup. It's a 4 p.m. game, Eastern time. This is, or pardon me, 7 p.m. Eastern time, but it's an early game for a big game. It's not a nationally televised game. So that makes it a little interesting for me. So the lights aren't on bright on these two teams, but these are two teams hitting on all cylinders and they're facing each other at 3-1 and 4-0. So what in the LA and the Cleveland game are you looking for?
Well, Cleveland is kind of boring. They just kick it along, do what they're supposed to do. Everybody plays pretty well. Dean Wade is a weird person to be in the middle of that. So I don't really have any thoughts on Cleveland. As far as the Lakers go, is Rui Hachimura going to keep it going? Like, I think tonight's a big test against these big men to find out if he's real or not.
Yeah, that's a real good point right there. I'm also looking and I want to see kind of, does Austin Reeves keep his foot on the gas? And I want to see if, not just in tonight's game, but I want to see over the next 20 games, does Anthony Davis experience any sort of degradation in his physical play? You know, it's easy to be fresh in the first couple games. I want to see how this sort of goes over the coming weeks and months. Looks like we're not going into questions right now. We have on the Cleveland side, Evan Mobley. I want to see if he can keep his finger on the trigger there and just basically who else? No, that's it for that game. Let's go to Boston and Indiana. This one's on ESPN. Boston at 4-0, Indiana at 1-3. Revenge? Is this the game that the Pacers come back together and do something here?
I don't know, man. I feel like the Pacers are not as good as they were last year. Just everything feels off. And probably all stems to Tyrese Halliburton. And on the flip side, Boston's just so friggin' good, man. So I don't think it is a revenge game for any of me. Maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah, I want to pick up the line on this game and see what that line is.
I want Peyton Pritchard to go off again.
Peyton Pritchard is an early round value in fantasy leagues right now. That's phenomenal. He looks to be a key cog in this team. It's Boston -6.5 on the road in Indy with their backs against the wall. So from a betting perspective, typically this is a place where you would want to take the Pacers. They've got more to play for. They've got all the motivation. Boston probably looks and sees something of a wounded animal, but they're not so motivated to actually take care of, you know, business, so to speak. So I think this is a spot. I'll put it to you guys this way. If Indy doesn't hit in this spot, it is bad news for the Pacers. That means there's something funky going on with Tyrese Halliburton, something with the chemistry, something's not right. But I actually kind of think that Indy's going to answer the call here tonight, at least cover the spread. We're looking, of course, for Halliburton to have some wow moments to balance out the ugh moments that he's had. The team, though, is a pretty easy read from a fantasy perspective, and I don't think there's much to talk about there. So I'll push us forward into Detroit and Philly. Some more Joel Embiid news this morning. Nothing too crazy, though. It's just reporting out of The Athletic that kind of cleans up what the league did with their investigation. And the end result of this is he's hurt, which we all kind of just generally knew, is that he's hurt. If he wasn't hurt, he'd be out there playing. Paul George was out there running stairs this morning, I believe. So he's got to be real close. This schedule, just two games this week. So I didn't look at this week and think, well, that's the week they're going to play these guys. It looks like a week that they're going to buy an entire week at the cost of two games. And that's, if you flip the coin, the other side of the coin and say, hey, well, you could get them a game and a long rest and you can get them another game. Maybe that's the other side of the coin. But mostly I just think they're going to rest these guys through this week and then maybe start Paul George into next week. And from there, Joel Embiid is just the question of the day. Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be the week after that? Is it going to be the week after that? We'll all have to wait and see on that. But beside that mess, Detroit Philly, when you look at this game, what are you watching for tonight?
I'm waiting for your Philadelphia or your Detroit Pistons to shock the world and win this game.
I'm waiting for them to do that. Indeed.
Can Cade Cunningham keep going? Can he keep it up? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm watching for the normal stuff. I want to see if Jaden Ivey can keep his foot on the gas. I want to see if Jalen Duren can keep getting blocks. I want to see Tobias Harris have a big game. And that might actually be the place to look. You know, he's going back to Philly. All that vitriol that was pointed in his direction. Yeah, yeah, some revenge angles there. So DFS, fire him up. And I think they'll know that in Detroit, and they'll feed him. So look for a big game out of Tobias Harris tonight. On the Philly side,
I want to watch Tim Hardaway Jr. too, just because he's been scoring a lot of points. He doesn't do much else, but he scores.
Yeah, and then on the Philly side, Tyrese Maxey's been on a heater and sort of answering questions about can he be good without the other players. We'll see if that's the case again tonight. And then just down roster, you're looking at the usual suspects. Can Andre Drummond, and talking about a revenge game, you know, he gets to go up against his old boys in Detroit. So he can, you know, get a little bit of bragging rights there, have one more big game, perhaps maybe, you know, a couple more big games before Joel Embiid comes back. So some interesting stuff down roster there. In the Atlanta-Washington game, injuries just hit. Injuries hit. So what are we doing with this in Atlanta? So Bogdan Bogdanovich is out for about 4 weeks. So that's like the headline, right? That happened way faster than anybody would have hoped for. He was looking pretty spry.
I got him like 3 days ago. So that I dodged one.
So you cut him before all that?
Yep.
Man.
I cut him the day he got hurt. The night he got hurt, I was like, see ya.
That's the brutal Doc A right there. No, I mean, I get it. But, okay, well, now that he's gone, who's the guy that steps up in his absence?
Oh, I don't know. Zach. I think it's Zach. DeAndre Hunter's day-to-day. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. I think until Bogey comes back, I think Risa Shea's going to play. I think he's keeping around.
Yeah, one thing this does is it makes Dyson Daniels' value really safe, like really safe. So
he's
nobody was
too, right?
Yep, but nobody was dropping Dyson Daniels. But I think there was some question like, what is Dyson Daniels? Can he be super, super, super good? Is he just, you know, a great draft pick that's going to be pretty good, you know, all season? I think that kind of no matter what, with these kinds of injuries already happening and him being able to establish his role and get some good value early on in the season, it's pretty much locked into that's a very good draft pick. Okongwu, you know, that's kind of the thing that I think a lot of folks are watching. He was supposed to be the beneficiary of a reverse situation, a Clint Capella injury and him getting the full minutes finally, or a trade. You know, he's supposed to step up and be the guy. I think that, you know, is the storyline in Atlanta that a lot of folks are dialed into. Washington's going to give them opportunities for statistics. So let's sneak. I think there's going to be a lot of DFS lineups that have beneficiaries on the Atlanta side doing well. What on the Washington side are you intrigued by?
Well, Atlanta doesn't play defense. So, I mean, Jordan Poole is, I'm starting him in every DFS lineup I set. For sure. He should go nuts. And can Kulapale do it again in his season-long quest to make me look like an idiot?
I think he's not. He hasn't made you look like an idiot. He needs to get the defensive stats while getting the offensive stats. And I don't know if Atlanta's the team that's going to make that happen, because you know a lot of their stuff is shot, lob, dunk, and they're going to see a lot of that tonight. I don't know if he'll get in there and get the steals. Maybe the steals, the blocks. I don't know. Just guessing at least. But Poole, how do you feel about him? Do you think that like folks should consider him to be a back end of the first round value the rest of the way, or is he still more of a mid round guy going forward?
I think when it's all said and done, he'll be like somewhere between 20 and 35.
Wow. Okay. That's big. That's real big. And
I mean, he was so bad last year for no reason. And I just think he's like, okay, I'm going to get serious this time.
When Golden State had really kind of, they paid him and he was going to be one of the guys there. I had him at a top 50 rank, something maybe even in the 40s, and he did that for 8-cat and 9-cat. It was terrible. It was like 80 is what he finished with that year. So probably clean things up a little bit, I would think, though. A Washington Wizards team doesn't sound great for turnovers. If he is hitting on all cylinders, and you got Kyle Kuzma who's already dealing with injury stuff, I don't know if it was because he looked out of shape or if one thing led to the next. But whatever the case may be, Kyle Kuzma doesn't look good to start the year. So that's just one more reason that Jordan Poole can be good heading forward. And so I would just say that's a really spicy topic, because I don't think people are ready to value him at a top 25, 35 range. But if he has the ball in his hands all season, and if they decide they can lose with him at the helm and he plays 78 games, I do think he could be a top 25 player in 8-cat. I think his ceiling has risen in that regard. So that's the ceiling for me personally. I don't think he's valued anywhere close to that out there, right? I think people are scared. I think people think that he's a top 75 guy with a lot of risk. So you could either buy into that. You know, you might want to pick a dip game to make your offer. If he has a stinker, get the offer in then. But it just feels like his stock is on the rise. Keep it moving into New York at Miami, the classic rivalry. New York 1-2 trying to figure themselves out. Do you think this is the game that Cat gets on track?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I would hope so. I thought the Knicks are going to be good, and they just don't look good. It would make sense for Cat to have a good game tonight, but I thought he was going to have four good games before this. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Bam Adebayo is not exactly a great matchup for Cat. You know, Bam can slide with him. Bam can go out on the perimeter with him. Miami, generally speaking, a good defensive team. I think they're uniquely equipped to make Cat have to work pretty hard in this game, depending on if they show up to play or not, which is always a question with Miami these days. I also wonder, you know, can we get more Mikal Bridges good games? And then OG Anunoby, I want to see, can he be more of the offensive player that people have given him credit to be? Because they need him. They need him. If those two guys aren't effective offensively, then it's going to be a long season for Jalen Brunson and Cat. And those two guys got drafted extraordinarily high. We got breaking news here. Raptors say Scottie Barnes has been diagnosed with a right orbital fracture and will be reevaluated in 3 weeks. This is why you make the hard calls in fantasy leagues. And sorry to Scottie Barnes, and that's a tough break, but at least it's only 3 weeks. You like jumping on the Mogbo train early. I don't know if this unlocks Mogbo, but you don't get to see these kinds of players very often in fantasy leagues. So we'll see. Does this 3 weeks off for Scottie Barnes, does that allow Mogbo to put enough on film to guarantee himself 20 minutes a game going forward? And does 20 minutes a game for Mogbo result in, say, like a combo of four steals and blocks and, you know, enough rebounds, enough points, you know, to make that work? And how high can he climb Those are the questions there. Are there any other pickups, though? I mean, I know I'm a Mogbo guy. I am kind of a little bit out on an island with that. But is there anybody else in Toronto that you're looking at, Steve?
I mean, Chris Boucher, who's like 31 years old, probably gets a little bit of a boost. They probably wish Bruce Brown was playing. And it probably helps Grady Dick and RJ Barrett.
They're kind of like,
I don't think I'm going to go pick any of those guys up. I'm not going to go pick Chris Boucher up yet.
The Toronto Riders are really enamored with the bench on this squad. Some of their younger players, it's they actually are competing out there, and it's a much more different vibe than you would think it would be for a team that most people are saying, hey, look, these guys are tanking, especially after losing Emmanuel Quickly. Like, they're just, you know, you would think, okay, things are all bad in Toronto, but they were giving it to Denver the other night, and, you know, up roster, down roster, all just competing. And I think, you know, just kind of guys to watch, not necessarily as pickups right now, but like Jamal Sheed has been good off the bench for them. Agbaji has been competitive. Now, the stats aren't there for either of these guys. Davion Mitchell, in the short term, is competing. Now, the stats aren't great for a guy like that. Chris Boucher, sometimes the stats have been there. And Boucher and Barnes, when he's playing, and Mogbo and Mitchell and, you know, Sheed and Agbaji, these are quick dudes. Like, they fly around the court. They got a lot of arms and legs. It makes it a helter-skelter game, and it's going to be just interesting to see how the stats start to flesh out in those kinds of environments, because if they're up and down turnover-based games, you're going to see a lot of steals and blocks up and down the box score, and maybe that plays into Chris Boucher actually having some value here. We've all been burned on Chris Boucher. I got burned big time on Chris Boucher a couple of years back. He's never panned out. He's 31 years old, like you said. But in this weird configuration where they just have a lot of quick off or just quick defensive minded players, you know, who knows with this stuff, but Mogbo is definitely on the top of my list here. Be the case, we'll need to wait and see who should pick up a fantasy position. Yeah, I think we do need to. I'm just answering a question from producer Andre Limosh. I think we gotta have to wait.
It was Nikola Jokic that did that to Scotty Barnes.
It was Jokic who did it?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Because I thought Jakob Poeltl thought he did it, but with the orbital fractures, you just never know. You know, there's so much contact that happens in an NBA game. That's interesting. Jakob Poeltl hit 10 of 10 foul shots, I believe, the other day. Or no, it wasn't 10 of 10. He's hitting his foul shots. I don't know his foul shot line, but there was a comment by one of the writers out there that he's hitting his foul shots, so. Great job in the beginning of the year. He might be the guy that actually kind of goes off in the meantime here. But I do think we need to wait and see which one of these guys emerges. I'm just planting my flag with Mogbo because of what I've seen on film and what I believe his steals and blocks potential is there, as well as rebounds and some other things. So interesting stuff in Toronto. Doc's going to go Boucher. All right, where were we prior to all that action break? And we were in New York and Miami. And on the Miami side, I don't think I want to cover too much there. I'm just going to see if Jimmy Butler can keep it going there. Let's get to Orlando and Chicago. We just got done with a 50-burger for Paolo Banchero. Franz Wagner was ill, so he's probably hopefully due for a bounce-back game. Hopefully he's feeling a little bit better. KCP's been all over the board. Anything else there that you got your eye on?
Jalen Suggs is sneaky good.
He is sneaky good, and I'm curious if you can get in on a buy low for him because people haven't caught up to that, or if your league is really adept to what's going on. Can you actually get off some of the injury risk? Because I don't think he could be this good going forward. I mean, that's asking a lot. Who are they playing? The Chicago side. I don't think Zach LaVine is slowing down anytime soon. What do you think, Doc?
I don't know. Orlando looks like they've got really good defense. So I'm kind of fading LaVine and DFS tonight just because I feel like Orlando is a good defensive team. So I'm not going to mess with Giddey or Levine or Kobe. Yeah, I could be wrong. And the Bulls, you know, Zach LaVine could go nuts. But I don't think this is a game where you want to gamble on that happening.
Jalen Smith is on the injury report, and that's a little bit of a bummer because that's been the story on him quite a bit during his career. He's played well in his limited minutes, and he's a guy that if you see Chicago hang a hard left and start looking towards a lottery, they could play him more. You know, if they were to trade Vucevic, even though there's not really a market for Vucevic, but everybody's looking at Jalen Smith. Can he possibly be a guy? Injuries this early in the season, that's not great. With the Orlando squad at 3-1, their over under was 47 wins, I want to say, and it was tantalizing because, you know, you're asking a lot for this team to go and win more than 47 games, but I think it's a perfect storm. Like, they don't get much respect individually or as a team. They play in a small market. They're on the upswing. I mean, these guys are playing for respect every single night, and that defense is stout. So a team like Chicago that may or may not be locked in at home, even they might be in for some trouble tonight. So fading them, I totally agree with. Brooklyn and Memphis. We just talked a little bit about Brooklyn there on the back-to-back. Memphis, you know, we're probably going to get a wait and see on John Morant. Scottie Pippen Jr. is holding down the fort just fine. Jaren Jackson Jr. is producing in limited minutes. What else you got in Memphis for us?
Not a lot. I'd like to see Zach Edey get it going. Scottie Pippen Jr. has been great all year. I don't know how long it'll last, but he's been good. And then Marcus Smart's coming off, what, 0-11? Something ridiculous. Maybe he can make some shots tonight. And Santi Aldama's been cooking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Aldama's been cooking. That's probably one of the bigger storylines is just to see, let me ask you this. Is this real season long, or is this going to end in about a month?
If Zach Edey sucks all year, Aldama's going to be tall. He's going to be good all year. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to.
That's an excellent piece of analysis right there, because you can really distill – I'm not kidding, because like, what do we think about Zach Edey at this point? Like, do we think that Zach Edey has done enough and will do enough to command, say, 23 minutes per game going forward? Or does it feel like he's a placeholder starter with 15 minutes per game or something?
Also, where is Zach Edey going to be in a month, conditioning wise? And you know, he's used to 20 game season. He's big. Like, I don't know. I thought he was going to be better than he's been.
Yeah, and then down roster, Jay Huff, Jake Laravia, even guys like Marcus Smart. Like, Marcus Smart had a great stat line except for the 0-10 in the last game. What's going on there? They got a lot of questions down roster, but, you know, if you're looking in DFS, if you're looking to just stream a guy in, even though it's a busy Wednesday night, you know, Laravia had a big night the other night. Jay Huff, I think there's a lot of momentum in fantasy circles for Jay Huff to be a thing. I don't know how that's going to work out long term. Laravia, says intrepid producer Andre Lamouche. Getting a guide on enunciation in this gig. I think that's going to do it for this game. I think we covered the Brooklyn side. Unless you got any other thoughts, I'm going to speed us ahead to San Antonio and Oklahoma City. The big one on ESPN. Can we call Victor Wembanyama the big unit? Kind of reminds me of Randy Johnson. Mm-hmm. That is a bad nickname. It's probably a bad nickname. But they're going to play.
I don't think it's going to stick. But you can try.
No, I won't be trying. It's the Chet and Wembanyama Bowl. We got first and second place in Rookie of the Year voting. And actually, probably some momentum on the Chet side right now. You know, like, I don't think anybody's dethroning Wembanyama anytime soon. You know, nobody's going to say, I'll take Chet. But Chet's been good.
He's been very good.
Chet's been great. And if Chet somehow comes out on top, I think that chatter is going to get even louder. But nobody in their right mind is fading Victor Wembanyama. He had his first kind of shock game, 20 boards, I want to say 4 blocks. The other day. What do you predict out of this game? Do you think that Wembanyama goes huge on national TV, or you think Oklahoma City Thunder does what they've done to almost every team, I believe, is destroy their box score?
It's going to be an annihilation. I think Oklahoma City's going to kill them. I think Wemby will have a good stat line. I want to see Julian Champagne bounce back. He was awful last game. And I want to watch Stephon Castle play basketball because I really haven't gotten the chance to check him out. And all the things I hear about him are good.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. He's getting a little bit of the rookie treatment, I'm sure. I mean, Pop's not going to be Pop if he doesn't give him a little bit of the rookie treatment. But, yeah, I mean, it's been the Champagne stuff. I actually thought he was fine with triple one and I think 5 points, four boards in the last game. But that matchup against Houston wasn't great for him, and it gets even worse for Oklahoma City. So to me, if he gets a triple one or thereabouts, and it's a quiet line, but those numbers are there, if he can get me three cash counters against this team, I'll be over the moon because it gets a lot easier after the Oklahoma City Thunder. On the Thunder side, like, what you doing with Caruso? Are you hanging on?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. It's been tough, though. It's been tough. But he's still getting those numbers that we like. Even though it's been rough, like last game, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Game before that, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So that's awesome. But he scored a total of 5 points this season, and he's averaging 20 minutes a game.
Let's flip this thing around and let's talk about how San Antonio might be able to impact Oklahoma City. Do you think the combination of Wembanyama, like Champagne's a good defender, Sohan's been kind of playing well. Do you think there's any, you know, Chris Paul's an irritant. Do you think there's any chance that San Antonio slows down, say, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Only if Shai decides to let them slow him down. Shai may be like, guess what? This is going to be a Lou Dort check game. And I'm just going to be a decoy.
Yeah, how do you attack Victor Wembanyama question? Like, a lot of teams just don't go into the paint. They just say, you know what? I'm not even going there. And, you know, Shai's got plenty of game perimeter-wise that he can rely on. I think he's going to shoot a lot of jump shots in this game. So maybe this is the game as field goal percentage isn't great. I wonder if the efficiency slips there. But I think they would be wise to use him as a decoy and get some of these other guys involved. And you might be onto something that this is a Dort game. Could be an Alex Caruso game. So for DFS, if you're just sort of looking at who could be the Jalen Williams game, probably, that they might – you're not going to see as many of the spins and the the kind of easy stuff that Shai just feasts on. When Shai gets 35 points and it's an amazing stat line, it's usually he feasted on some crazy amount of easy layups. In the nightcap, in the last game, we got Portland at the Clippers. Portland is hanging in there. We're 1-3, hanging in there. Jeremy Grant's having some moments. Anthony Simons got complete. If you wonder why Anthony Simons got completely shut down, that was Keon Ellis's fault the other day. The Clippers are pretty exciting from a fantasy perspective. I mean, James Harden's out there doing stuff. Ivica Zubac is out there doing stuff. Norm out there doing stuff. What's your thought process with these two teams heading into the last game of the night?
Well, I'm a big Norm Powell guy. And, yeah, his stat lines are kind of empty. You're not going to get a bunch of triple ones, as you like to call him, Norman Powell. But he's going to score points. He's going to hit threes. He's going to play big minutes. Derrick Jones Jr. is also kind of interesting for that team. He's got a role. He's kind of doing stuff. And he's worth a look in your league. But, you know, I drafted or picked up Norman Powell in every league I have. And he's right now he's like fifth round value or something ridiculous. So I'm pretty excited about him.
Yeah, I don't have too much in this game that I'm watching out for. I mean, Portland is what they are. The Clippers are what they are. I have nothing that's bubbling up to the surface. Maybe Chris Dunn. Can we see if Chris Dunn can kind of carve out a, you know, last of the fantasy valuable guys role for the Los Angeles Clippers? And then Portland, I guess, Klingon. I'm always watching Klingon. I wanted to see what can Klingon in his 12 minutes get 12 rebounds and two blocks. That's some deep league action for you right there. All right, let's get to some premium questions. And if you're on YouTube or Twitter, get on into the Discord so you can get your questions answered. And we're going to get to them at the end of shows here. We got a premium question. Doc Luke 56. This is a man of this is one of your people, Doc. I picked up Pippen and Bilal for tonight. I want to pick up another player. Should I pick up Kispert, Agbaji, or Carter in Orlando? Also, should I keep Kuminga? Part one, pick Kispert, Agbaji, or Carter. Part two, is Kuminga a hold? What do you think, Doc?
Well, first of all, Doc Luke 56 is probably actually a doctor, unlike myself. So he may not be one of my people. He's probably a lot smarter than I am. To answer his question, why does Andre keep taking the questions off my screen? Kispert. I like Kispert out of that group. Or, you know what? Wendell Carter seems to have like 14 points, 10 boards, and a block every night. I don't think he does. But every time I look, I feel like that's what he does. I would say flip a coin between Kispert and Carter. I do kind of like Kispert just because he's going against the Civlek Hawks. He should have a decent night. And then I'm definitely personally holding on to Kuminga.
Yeah, I think if you're moving Kuminga in this situation, you're just committing to having a streamer slot, and you've just decided that Kuminga is not worth the hold in that case. That strategy is always fun because you're always going to land on a player that you think you want to keep. So, you know, if you're going to commit to that strategy, you got to commit the whole way. Mamba Memo says, do I keep the pod stream for today? He did well for me yesterday. Do I add Drummond? So do you got Drummond or pods for today?
We're talking Pajimski. And I like the Drummond revenge game. And I don't like the fact that Moody and Gary Payton didn't do anything in that Warriors game last night. Kind of feel like pods might take a step back tonight. I could be wrong. But either way, I like the Drummond against Detroit angle a lot.
Yeah, put it this way. If Pods has another good game in a row, that means something's cooking for him. But I'm with Doc. I take the Drummond revenge game over the Pods two in a row good games for that particular team in that particular situation, with New Orleans theoretically having the revenge angle there. J111311, start Okongwu or Santi Aldama tonight? Both are playing bad teams in Brooklyn and Washington. What say you, Doc?
I'm probably going with Santi. Okongwu had that huge, huge career high first game, and then he's sort of been good, but not great. Where Santi's been really, really good every night. I think I just trust Santi a little bit more right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. These things are coin flips, these particular kinds of situations, especially with role players and the bad teams. I mean, this is just a lot of shake it up and see what happens kind of stuff. But I would take Santi here as well. Harden 13 asked, do we look to JV on the wire now that Kuzma will miss time? Herb, Sexton, and Portis are tough holds at the moment. So would you take one of those three off your team and add JV?
Those are all tough, man. Because Herb's kind of hurt. Sexton was terrible. Portis has kind of been invisible, even though Giannis has not played well. So that's kind of weird. I mean, JV, Jonas Valanciunas, deserves to be rostered. So if you want to cut somebody and pick up Jonas, I don't think it's a bad idea. Which of those three guys to tell you to drop, though? I mean, that's tough. I'd have to look at schedules and really take a minute with it to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a good question for the Discord. And also, I would probably drop Portis out of that bunch if I had to. But the question for me would be, is JV a better player than Portis? And I don't think that's the answer. I think you got to kind of ride this out a little bit and see how things go. Because JV, it looks like he's just going to plod along and get his 20 minutes and get his points, boards, and occasional three and block, but not much else beyond that. Okay, I think we got time for a couple more. Would you drop Kuminga for a pod stream this week with Curry out? Nine cat head-to-head, Doc? That one's from Dan Risby.
I mean, was it a weekly league and the deadline already passed? I don't... it's strange because... I'm not dropping Kuminga for pods. I'm just going to say that.
That's the key question here is, who do you like better? It sounds like you like Kuminga better. I like pods better, but this is super close. I mean, I'm not even sure I like pods better. This one is super close. Give me the player that the organization likes. Like, they're hell-bent on making pods a thing, and it feels like they're working their asses off to make Jonathan Kuminga not a thing. So that's probably, for me, the tiebreaker. Hinman asks, is this a veto slash fair? Sort of a buy low, sell high moment. I don't know what that question framing is, but we'll see here.
Oh, I do.
Sexton, Nick Richard, Andre Drummond for Claxton and Dante. This is a 14-team, nine cat head-to-head. So is this a fair trade, I guess, is the question?
I mean, I don't know if it's fair or not. I mean, it looks slanted in the three-player side, especially the way Dante's playing. But, I mean, it's not like there's collusion, and it's not like somebody's taking advantage of something. Like, I hate Aaron. I have not gotten to do this in like 2 or 3 years.
You called me Aaron in 2 to 3 years.
I hate trade vetoes. They ruin leagues. They ruin participation. They piss people off. They make everyone involved in the trade very angry. And it gives people this false sense of power that they can control other people. And I really do not agree with vetoing any trade unless it's, you know, Kobe Bryant for, I don't know, Paul Mokeski. I'm not vetoing a trade. Okay. They want to do it. They want to do
that. Next time, can we do viewer questions at the front of the show, Andre? I want this piss and vinegar at the beginning of the show.
If they want to make that trade, let them make the trade. So annoying.
I there was so much about that rant that I loved. I can't get the fact that you called me Aaron at the top, and then the rant itself was perfect. I don't know who I like in this trade. It's a good trade. It's about as even of a trade as I've ever seen. And this poor reader, listener, he's probably been the victim of a veto in the past. And Doc's out here just crushing it.
Nobody in this trade that's going to win you a fantasy league.
Was a trade like this vetoed in your league? Please call Doc. Two more from the live chat. We got, I believe, I don't know. We got rest of season projection on Jalen Green from Scott Foster fan 321 or something. Rest of season on Jalen Green.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, it's I can on wax the screen. Poetic.
Yeah, it is on the screen.
It's over there.
Yeah. Andre's messing with us.
Dude, Jalen Green looks motivated, and he looks awesome. And I don't know if he's the future of the Rockets or not. They didn't pay him like he is. But, man, he just looks – he passes the eye test in every way, shape, and form. So I think he's good to go.
I want to shout out longtime reader, listener, Show Me the Maury, who was sort of in my mentions and DMs and all of that, like begging me, like, hey, you know, is Jalen, are you going to champion Jalen Green this year? And I was like, yeah. And then I saw some film in the preseason and I was like, yeah. It's hard to rank him high because of all the things in Houston, but like it was one of the fluff films of preseason and he just looked great. And it's like, okay, normally you do see this preseason stuff and it's all fluff, but that looked real and he's been amazing. Okay. We got one last question here. Need to improve my steals and kind of want to crop DiVincenzo for Chris Dunn. Thoughts from Chuck Jimenez. DiVincenzo, man, he's getting no love out there. No love whatsoever. Oh, and we'll get back to the Jalen Green question because we just got to sped through that with our own little rants. But
No.
You want to hit Jalen? Okay, what's his rank the rest of the way?
Andre's just answering my question, dude. So Chuck, is it Jimenez? He wants to know if you cut Dante DiVincenzo for Chris Dunn. You can do that. I'm personally not even considering doing that. I'm going to give DiVincenzo another 5 weeks before I move on. Like, he can't be this bad for much longer.
This is bad integration stuff with Minnesota, and it might be bad. You know, there might be Julius Randle related. I mean, we talked about Julius Randle all off season long about what a tough fit he was for the Knicks, and he's going to be a tough fit for the Minnesota Timberwolves. DiVincenzo will be just fine. Like, they love him there. He's one of the better players in the league. He will be just fine. It's tough right now. And then Chris Dunn, I understand the thought process there, especially wanting to improve in steals. That's his wheelhouse. DiVincenzo won't be bad in that area, but he's going to be like a top 75 guy. And he'll be that consistently once they keep going and get through all the integration stuff. Okay. And then Jalen Green, as far as a rank the rest of the way, I did want to get that out there. I do think that he's got top, say, 60 potential going the rest of the way in this crowded rotation. Like, the crowded rotation in Houston may not go away, but what he's doing is number one offensive player type stuff, Jalen Green, and that can't be undersold here. So he might actually push through the mess. I think it's going to put Houston in an incredible quandary as far as what they think they are and what they decide to do going forward. But we'll deal with that one on a future show, and that's not going to come for a few months. So
shout out to that Jalen Green question coming from F. Scott Foster. F. Scott Foster has been following Camlin around the circuit for a while now.
The circuit. I love it. And thank you all of the listeners. You guys have been great with all the questions and the support, and I can't say enough about you guys. Thank you, Andre, for another great show. Thank you, Doc, for putting up with me for one more episode. And that's going to do it for us here on Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well. We'll be right back.